Good morning. It is great to be with you all this morning. I am so glad to be here. Ron, thank you. That was outstanding. I learned a lot from Ron growing up, especially at Central Florida Bible Camp. Here's three things that I learned, three important lessons I learned at Central Florida Bible Camp that will probably serve you well in life as well. First of all, do not bring gel shaving cream to a shaving cream fight. That's important. Number two, do not fall asleep in Ron's Bible class. And number three, Ron is more patient than teens are mischievous. I'm really thankful and love Ron and Liz and the work that they're doing and what they're doing with Central Florida Bible Camp. Thank you for that lesson, Ron. That was just wonderful. My sweet mother, Tommy Jo Kane, really wanted to be here today. We were planning on that and we wanted to do that, but she, for circumstances, just was not able to be here. She sends her love wishes that she could be with us, but just couldn't. But she loves you all so much. I wanted to spend just a little bit of time talking about sound doctrine. A strong and faithful congregation teaches sound doctrine. Now, let's make sure we're on the same page linguistically before we get too far on down the road. I'm using the term sound this morning the same way that Paul used it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, where he talked about the pattern of sound words. That Greek word for sound simply means healthy or pure or uncorrupted. And the word doctrine is a word that we sometimes misuse a little bit, but all it means is teaching. We're saying, we're talking about sound, healthy teaching. And basically what we're saying is when we use the word, we use this often, we talk about sound doctrine, what we're saying is what you're teaching consistent with what the Bible teaches? Does that line up? Is it sound doctrine? That's what we're concerned with. That's what we want when we talk about sound doctrine. When Paul talks about sound doctrine, is our doctrine, is our teaching sound? Is it healthy? Is it the truth? Now, growing up at Palm Beach Lakes, back in the 70s, I remember even as a little kid, there was a heavy emphasis on preaching and teaching that was sound and was consistent with what the Bible teaches. I remember back at that time, my dad was one of the preachers. He shared the pulpit with Bill Hatcher. And there was always from the pulpit, whether it was my dad Carey or Bill Hatcher, or if it was during a gospel meeting with Maxie Boren or Dan before he moved here, Wendell Winkler or Henry Winkler, whoever you think that was, there was always an emphasis on teaching what the Bible teaches and speaking where the Bible speaks and sound doctrine and teaching. There was an emphasis on teaching the truth and being cautious and aware of what not to teach. You would hear passages consistently like 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Or passages like 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths. Or passages like Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And I can remember as a kid hearing passages like that and just scripture after scripture after scripture. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, why so much scripture? Why so much Bible and verse after verse after verse and teach the truth and be aware of false doctrine and don't teach this? And why so much Bible when I found it much easier to stay awake when the preacher got up and he told stories and illustrations and anecdotes that were listening and that held my attention and that kept me awake much better? Why don't we do more of that? Why so much Bible, Bible, Bible? Why so much emphasis on sound doctrine? Well, let me offer just a couple of reasons why, in addition to the fact that, first of all, from the passages we just read, the Bible says we should be concerned about those things, and therefore we should, and that should be reason enough. But let me offer just a couple of other reasons why sound doctrine is so important. Number one, the truth can change your life and change you to be what God wants you to be. The truth can change your life. Now, when we share God's word, which is the truth, John 17:17, God's word is the truth, and when we share that with other people, we can have an impact on other people, and we can turn the world upside down like first century Christians did in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. But not only can God's word, the truth, sound doctrine, turn the world upside down, it can turn your life and it can turn my life upside down. It can change us to be what God wants us to be. The truth can change you. When I grew up here at Palm Beach Lakes, I had a best friend named Judd Davis, and I had a girl named Heather Lanham that I was desperately in love with. Now, keep in mind, I was probably like in the sixth grade. This is circa 1979-ish. And so being in the sixth grade, it was pretty serious. And I remember one Sunday night, a bunch of us were going to go out to eat afterwards. I don't know where we were going or what we were doing, but we were all going to get together. So we were all piled into different people's cars. And so Judd got us to all go with his folks. I think we piled into the back of a Datsun two-door, and we got in the back. And so there was Johnny Boy sitting up front and driving. There was Betty sitting next to him. I was sitting in the back behind Johnny. Heather was sitting in the middle, and Judd was sitting on the other side. And we were going wherever everyone was going, and we were excited and happy. And I remember thinking at that point it was time to take this relationship to the next level. And so I summoned up all the courage and intestinal fortitude that I could possibly have in a tiny sixth grade body. And suppressing years of anxiety and insecurity, I reached over and I placed Heather's hand in mine. And I thought to myself, life is good. And it was really good for a few seconds. And then I remember Betty turning around and looking back at us, and she got a big grin on her face, and she chuckled a little bit, and she said, "That is so cute." And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, that is cute. And then I thought, but why would she think that this is so cute? And then I leaned forward and I looked over and I felt this sharp pain in two parts of my body, one in my heart and one in the middle of my back, when I looked over and I saw Judd holding Heather's hand. And I felt betrayed and violated. I thought, how could Judd do this to me? How could he force Heather to hold his hand when he knows full well she only wants to hold my hand? And just a few seconds ago, I was living in blissful ignorance. But then once the truth of reality set in, it changed my life. And in a much more serious way, God's word, the truth, can change our lives. Paul talked about this with the church in Corinth and how much it had changed them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, you'll remember this passage. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, all these terrible things in your lives, they will not inherit the kingdom of God." And such were, past tense, such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God's truth changed them, and God's truth, sound doctrine, changes us today. But please be careful, because God's truth will change us to what He wants us to be. But when we change that truth, when we start altering that message and it's no longer sound, and it's no longer pure, and it's no longer healthy, then we'll be changed, but we will not be changed into what God wants us to be. Sound doctrine is important. Sound doctrine will change us into the people that God wants us to be. Number two, sound doctrine is necessary for unity. Sound doctrine is necessary for unity. Paul talked about this concept with that messed up church in Corinth. They had a lot of division and they had a lot of problems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, which is another way of saying teach sound doctrine. That you all agree, some translations say speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. The church at Corinth had a lot of problems. They had a lot of division. They were divided over who was their favorite preacher. They were divided over Christians who were taking each other to court in lawsuits. They were divided over eating idol meats. They were divided over the use of spiritual gifts. They were divided in what they were doing in their worship assembly itself. And in the midst of all those problems and all that drama and conflict and disunity and division, there's two keys to resolving that problem and bringing back unity. And one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the great chapter on love. You have to have love. And the second key to bring about unity is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul writes, not to go beyond what is written. In other words, don't change the message. Your doctrine needs to be sound and healthy and pure. Don't go beyond what is written. Teaching sound doctrine is the key to unity. Now, how do you determine what is sound doctrine, which is a good, practical question? And many people have many different theories on this. Well, some say, well, you can vote on it. Or you just sort of go with whatever's the majority or the consensus today. Or we have some high-ranking officials who will make that determination for the rest of us. Or we can just take the Jiminy Cricket approach to Christianity and we'll just let our conscience be our guide. And many people think that way. Many people talk about, I'll just follow my moral compass. And moral compasses are good things to have. But what shapes and molds and frames your moral compass? This reminds me of the Nuremberg trials that took place following World War II in Nuremberg, Germany, where the world held German officials and officers on trial. And one of the defenses that the Germans had was, they said, we were following orders. We were following German law. And in response to that, there was a Justice Robert Jackson who was representing the United States prosecution in this case. And he made this statement in response to that argument. He said, as an international military tribunal, it rises above the provincial and the transient. Now, what did he mean by that? It rises above the provincial and the transient. What he meant by that is there are laws that rise above the provincial, meaning national boundaries. There are laws that rise above the transient, meaning time. It's not bound by time and not bound by national borders. In other words, there are things that are right or wrong, regardless of what country you're in and regardless of what time in history you happen to live in. And whether Justice Jackson knew this or not, what he was referring to is God's law, that constant that's always been there, sound doctrine. And that tells us what's right or wrong, regardless of whether we live in Germany in 1945 or West Palm Beach, Florida in 2023. It's right, and it's not limited by the provincial or by the transient. It's not limited by where we are in history, and it is not limited by when we are in history. That defines for us what's right, what's wrong. That's where we find sound doctrine is in God's Word. Don't add to or take away from God's Word. You see that theme throughout the Bible. In fact, you find it specifically in a phrase that's used repeatedly where the inspired writers would sometimes say, don't add to and don't take away from God's Word. You find it at the beginning of the Bible, you find it in the middle of the Bible, and you find it at the end of the Bible, this recurring theme. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 in the Pentateuch. You find it in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 in the middle of the Bible. You find it in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19. At the beginning and in the middle and the end and throughout the Scripture, there's this emphasis. Don't change the message. Don't mess with God's Word. Don't deviate from sound doctrine. If we start to change that message, what we will have is division. That's what the word denominationalism means. It means division. When you sit around and you decide we're going to vote on what's right or wrong, that's what the denominational world has been doing. In fact, you've probably been seeing some of that in the news lately, where they sit around and they'll vote on certain things. Like they'll sit around and say, well, what's the role of women in worship? Let's vote on this and let's see if we can figure this out. Or let's vote on whether or not women can be pastors. Heard of that happening? Or let's talk about whether or not we can have members in good standing who are homosexuals. And if they can be members in good standing, can they also be pastors, as the denominational world uses the term pastor? Can they also be pastors in our churches? And let's vote on whether or not certain people are eligible or ineligible to marry. And we'll redefine marriage. And let's talk about just the basic fundamental nature of what is a man and what is a woman, and we'll vote on these things. That's not how we find and get sound doctrine. That's not how we determine what is right or wrong. That leads to a lack of unity. That leads to division. As I've heard Dan Jeakin say lovingly a number of times, we live in a messed up world. And there are lots of problems out there. There are lots of issues. There's lots of things that need to be addressed. And I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of people try it from a lot of different angles, how to engage in debate and discourse and try to persuade people. And I'm telling you, here's what we've got to be doing. And we've got to get better at it. We have got to lovingly, kindly start quoting more Scripture. Lots of people have ideas and theories and opinions and feelings. And we need to respond to that with, here's what the Bible says. I do this sometimes as an attorney. I've got a statute over here, and I've got the other side arguing something else completely different over here. And I'll put it in a little column in a brief for the judge, and I'll say, look, you need to see this side by side. Here's their position. Here's what the rule says. Look at that. Compare it right next to each other. I want you to see it on the same page. We need to do the same thing in our conversations. I understand that's your position. Here's what the Bible says. Don't quote it. Don't summarize it. Don't give your feelings on it. Maybe we need to spend a little bit more time studying and memorizing, but we need to know the Bible and know the book. Amen. Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, Psalm 119, verse 11. The only way that word can be hid in my heart is if I know it. It's tattooed in my brain. I've memorized it. I've spent more time studying. I know the Bible. I don't know all of it, but I know some of it. And we need to start telling people, this is what the Bible says. Amen. Quote it word for word. So it's not you, it's not me, it's not your opinion, it's not my opinion. People keep coming back and saying, well, that's just your opinion. No, I'm quoting what the Bible says. This is not opinion. If you've got a problem with what I have to say, you have a problem with what God has to say. This is not me on the subject. I'm quoting the verse. I'm quoting God. This is what my Father says. And we need to get back to having that kind of emphasis. And it's within that mindset that we will find sound doctrine and we will find unity. Now, I love this congregation. I've loved it for years. I love the fact that this church is so kind and warm and loving. And you're known for that. This congregation is known for being generous in their giving and in their good works. This congregation is known for its evangelistic efforts, and this congregation is known for being sound in its teaching. Please keep up those good works and wonderful things. Now, one last point and caveat in all this. Can we place too much emphasis on truth? Is that possible? I think it is. And the reason why I say that is because God is truth, but He's more than just truth. We can put so much emphasis on speaking the truth and teaching the truth and sound doctrine and not teaching false doctrine, and here's what the denominations are teaching and here's what the world is teaching, and we can forget there's other things in the Bible besides just that topic and subject, and we can neglect some other weightier matters. And the solution to that problem is not to say, well, we've neglected that issue in the past, so we'll neglect some other issues and place too much emphasis on this in the future. No, please no. The solution to that problem is to emphasize what the Bible teaches and emphasize all of it, the whole counsel of God. Emphasize all of it. Jesus talked about that concept in Matthew 23, verse 23. You Pharisees have been putting too much emphasis on tithing over here, and you've forgotten weightier matters of the law. So what should you do? Just forget tithing and just focus on the weightier matters? No, He said, these you ought to have done in addition to these other things. In other words, place your emphasis on everything that the Bible teaches, and don't neglect any of it. And so let's let sound doctrine guide us when it comes to teaching truth. Let's let sound doctrine guide us when it comes to living the truth. Let's let sound doctrine guide us when it comes to loving the truth and worshiping in spirit and in truth, John 4, 24. In everything that we do, let sound doctrine dictate the kind of people that God wants us to be, and we'll find ourselves being more like Jesus with greater unity and more like Him, speaking the truth in love. Thank you so much for your kind attention this morning.